That's Eric Bibb with a lot of love, life, and laughter with this tune, Don't Let Nobody Drag Your Spirit Down. That is from his 1997 album, Good Stuff. And it is good stuff. Just so you're wondering, you might remember the late Leon Bibb, that was his father, a Broadway performer and blues man, and very much loved and very much missed, especially in the arts. So it is Free Your Mind Friday. And what is Free Your Mind Friday? All right. If you're new, welcome. Welcome. Free Your Mind Friday is when we suspend our regular programming format and we open up the program to be a free forum of ideas. And you can talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. You choose the subject. We only ask that you have a point to make. Don't get on and just start yammering. You ought to have a point of view about something, and it ought to be a pretty strong point of view. You either favor something or you don't favor something, but you ought to have a strong enough point of view. You should be able to defend your position and cite a couple of things that bolster your position. That is always very helpful. We are basically in training. And what we're in training to do is to learn the fine art of communicating your point of view in case you should be called upon to do so. You will have the science down, and you will know what the routine would be to state up front what your position is, and then you prove your point and you bring in supporting material that helps you gird your position. All right, so you choose your topic, and I'm going to be kind of like a referee. And from time to time, I'll ask you some questions just to see if you know what you're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. So the number to call is 888-874-4888. And that's how we do our Free Your Mind Friday. It's open to you. This is your space. So welcome to it. And let's see who calls in first. At 888-874-4888. I imagine that you have this number posted someplace near you, near your computer, on your forehead, somewhere where you wouldn't forget it. But I'll remind you, it's 888-874-4888. Lots to talk about from where I'm sitting, but it's your program. You get to call the shots today. And you choose the subject, and you tell us what you're thinking about that subject. Any callers yet? Let's see. Nobody yet? Oh, you guys are slowing down in your old age. I thought there would be a whole long line, but I see you calling in now, but that's a good thing. The idea is don't waste a minute's time when you have an opportunity to speak to a very broad audience and share your views. Whether people agree or don't agree, that's not the point. The point is that you make your case. E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, you chiefs.
Good afternoon.
Hope you're feeling well today, and the rest of the PRN family are feeling well also.
Thank you. Thank you for those sentiments. I appreciate it.
Just a little thing today. I always keep thinking about things like why back in the 40s, 30s, 40s, whatever it was, they decided to put mercury in people's mouths, and they knew it was the second deadliest element known to man. Why would you want to put that into little children's mouths? Makes no sense to me. And there was also Wonder Bread helps build strong bodies in 12 ways. This was plastered over the commercials every day. Little kids would see that. And drink cow's milk. It's going to make you strong and healthy and make you strong bones because you get calcium. But all this stuff has been proven wrong, and it's all nonsense. And it's all leading to bad health, the opposite of what they're saying it's for. And then I said to myself, well, suppose everybody was as healthy as Gary Null. If everybody was as healthy as Gary Null and followed eating nutrition and being a vegan, then there would be hardly any sickness. And then think about how many people would be on the planet. It would be.
Well, where are you going with it? Where are you going with this? What's the point
of going in like a circle where it comes to a point where maybe they're not as bad as I thought they were. Maybe they're just trying to keep the population from getting way out of hand, because then it would be just people suffering. I mean, when a mother wolf decides she's going to have cubs, she looks around and she sees how many rabbits and field mice and squirrels, how many things there is to catch, and how many cubs she would be able to feed before she decides how many cubs she's going to have. They have this ability, this instinctive thing. So she doesn't want six cubs and three of them would be healthy and the other three would be dying, or maybe all six would be weak because she has to give them a little. So she only has three cubs so they can all be fed well and they will all be strong and healthy. The same thing with people. If there's too many people on a planet, like if there was too many wolves, they'd eat all the food and then they'd all die because there was no food left because there were too many of them. So it's the same with people, isn't it?
I haven't given it much thought, actually. And probably the reason is because I come from a very large family. So having a lot of people around was a good thing, not a bad thing.
Okay.
I mean,
that could be true. All right, what if there's not enough food to feed all the people? Isn't that a crisis? Isn't that a problem? If the planet is being...
crisis. I don't understand where you're going with this.
All right, what was the purpose of people, of populating this world for so many people? What was the purpose? So that the rich people could make more money and they would prosper. They needed to have a lot of people.
You're reaching. It's quite a stretch that you're making today. And I don't know that you're proving your point. I don't know that you're making a point. Because a lot of what you're saying sounds a bit hypothetical.
All right, hypothetical or not, then why does the mother wolf...
What's with you and the mother wolf?
Yes, because it's a perfect example. It's a perfect example because they live by instinct and we live by what we're taught in schools and what we think we know. And we think we're so smart that we don't have room for any other kinds of thoughts. Well, why would the mother wolf not want to have as many cubs as she could possibly have?
I have never interviewed a wolf. I have no idea what the mother wolf is thinking.
I know, but this has been scientifically
proven. She's operating according to what we call loosely nature. It's nature.
Right.
I don't know that they have a plan. I don't know that they went to wolf school to appreciate the issue of population control. I don't know any of that.
Well, I think it's about nature giving animals this ability to be able to do that so they don't go overbalance things and then cause mass extinctions because there's not enough things for them to eat. So it has to be kept in a balance. There has to be enough prey to feed the predators. Right. And they can't have too many of the prey around because then that would be overpass. So you have to have the predators to eat them. So it's the same with people.
Well, leave it there for today because we are not going to resolve this issue or question that you're raising because it's an overarching issue. And it takes in a lot more than you're thinking at the moment. So I don't know that we'll solve the question that you posed to us today.
Could I just say one more thing?
Yes, but please move it along. We have a lot of people
I'm moving it along real fast. So far, I've been on 5 minutes. Let me tell you, I'm not trying to make a point. I'm just trying to give something to think about, okay? Think
right.
about
we got
on
it.
A large scale. Okay,
we got it.
It doesn't
Thank
always
you.
Have
Thanks
to be
so much for
something
getting
to be right
Thanks
or
for getting
something.
Started today. Jeremiah from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you today, Utrice?
Okay, I'm hanging in. How about
okay,
you?
Okay, good. I'm doing fine, thank you. I'm here with my little lady here, my six-month-old daughter, so you might hear her in the background at some moment. But my point is that we are witnessing the emergence of what some have termed the biosecurity state. I think we're entering a whole new phase, a whole new way of life, and it's a way of life that I'm not looking forward to. And I think a lot of people have unwittingly been ushered into this sort of new state of mind. And,
well, you have to define for us what a biosecurity state is.
Well, let's compare it to 9/11, for example. And right after 9/11, regardless of what you think about the details of that event, we saw the emergence of the homeland security industry. And to me, what's playing out is similar to Greek mythology, where you have these great stories of, you know, the god Zeus and Poseidon and these various characters. And to me, this is like the next Greek god stepping up to have their turn at the mythological glory. And in this case, it's Big Pharma. So, you know, we got to invent the homeland security and industry, and now it's the biosecurity industry is upon us. Everyone wear a mask in all circumstances. Everyone get your temperature tested with the little handheld gadget wherever you go. Everyone subject themselves to, you know, their personal data being available to corporations without full disclosure. And a whole range of things that are going on. For example, in the company where I work for, and I'm not going to mention their name, obviously, but, you know, the boss said, well, we'd like all of our staff to be vaccinated now. So you guys can just go into Walgreens now, and the vaccines are available commercially at Walgreens. So I want everyone to go into Walgreens because I'd like to be able to advertise that we're 100% vaccinated. And it's like, whoa, 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 Jack, you don't pay me enough to just go and bypass Nuremberg laws. It doesn't work like that. And it's a really funny atmosphere that we're in now that if you don't want this experimental, fast-tracked mRNA vaccine, then you're an anti-vaxxer. Well, I was vaccinated. My kids have had basic vaccinations. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. You can't claim that. But I don't wish for my body to be an experimental playground for Big Pharma. And I take the non-interventionist approach. And I see that there's a lack of respect in this new atmosphere for people such as myself who generally believe in a non-interventionist approach. I feel well, and I'd like to just keep it that way. I'm not looking for a radical intervention for an emergency situation. I'm okay. Thank you. Thanks, but no thanks.
Could you understand the position, or do you just dismiss it? The position of the state that the country is facing and experiencing, actually, a pandemic.
And I do understand that.
That therefore requires drastic measures be taken. Is it that
I do understand
you disagree with the measures, or you disagree with the estimation that we are in a pandemic?
Well, I think by many measures, we're not in a pandemic. And let me say what I mean very specifically, which is that I've been following the global statistics, mortality statistics, from the beginning for an entire year now. I've been watching country by country. And there's many countries in the world, many, many countries that have zero, single digit, double digit, or maybe triple digit mortality at the end of a year. So in Laos, for example, where there have been zero COVID deaths in a year, Cambodia, zero COVID deaths in a year, Tanzania, 21 COVID deaths, Mongolia, 7 COVID deaths, on and on and on. And what's also interesting is in these countries, there have been thousands of cases. So we can't say, oh, well, the disease didn't arrive in these places. They were protected for geographical reasons or whatever. No, there were thousands of cases that resulted in single-digit death, which is sad in any case. Every life is valuable, et cetera, et cetera. I don't mean to belittle the value of anyone's life. However, does that constitute a pandemic if I'm in Tanzania and there have been 21 deaths in the course of a year? Am I saying I need an emergency vaccine? This is an emergency? No, I think I'm going about my Tanzanian business.
Word pandemic, it means that the disease is omnipresent. It's all over the place. It's all over the world.
Right.
And so people have to keep that in mind, that countries have to respond and to the most logical way that they can. I don't know that it is easy to say. For example, you just cited Laos doesn't have that high an incidence of mortality due to the virus.
Right.
But you don't know what that is attributable to.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. And I think there needs to be a lot more investigation into why has the United States, which is 4% of the world's population, produced over 20% of the world's COVID death? That's a question that's been beating in my mind for months
that
now.
Is
and I don't understand why there's not more curiosity about that. Is it because of our GMOs? Because of our microwaves, our radio waves? I'm disturbed, basically, by the fact that there's not more interest in that question on behalf of a Dr. Fauci, on the behalf of our major media, and so on and so on. We're just dying at a much higher rate than the rest of the world. And no one's stopping to say, well, what is specifically wrong with us? Because it's not a different human being in Tanzania or in Laos. No one's claiming that. And no one's claiming that the virus respects national borders in any way. So, you know, I just think the notion of 2.5 million people in the world, average age 80, median age 85, dying in the course of 1 year, it's a very serious event, but it doesn't justify, in my mind, an emergency medical intervention for over 7,600,500,000 people.
Well, I find
it insane that people think that's a logical
response. You could say you're making a logical argument, but I can't say that because we're not appreciating all of the factors that are operative at this time that are contributing to the outcomes that we are experiencing. We have no idea. And this is something, it's long overdue, of course, but we're in the midst of what they're calling a pandemic. And so it's a matter of priority. What takes priority at this time? We're not in charge of that. But we can, on a personal basis, and even so, in some countries, that is not even assured that you can go on your own and do what you want by yourself. because there is a cost to that too. There's a social cost, and many countries have paid it, paid that price with the incredible numbers of people dying. So we are, I identify with your point that we have to take another look at this, or several other looks at this, from many different angles.
Could I tell you a quick story, Etrees?
No, because we're out of time.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. I'll call you next time, but it's very relevant to the discussion. But thank you so much, Etrees. It's always a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so much for calling in. Patricia from New York City. The number, by the way, is 888-874-4888. Patricia, you're on the air. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you, Etrees. And I hope that you are well, and I hope everyone in the PRN audience is well and will enjoy
thank
this
you.
Beautiful weather that we're going to have this weekend. I actually have two things that I want to get off my mind, but I'm going to continue on the conversation of the previous caller, because I want to share an experience that I had 2 days ago. Now, I don't think I've ever shared with the PRN audience that I am, like yourself, a cancer survivor. I was diagnosed with breast cancer 11 years ago, and I have done extremely well. So I go 2 days ago for my regular eye exam with my eye doctor, who I have known forever. I mean, I was trying to think about how long she's been my eye doctor. She's been my eye doctor for so long, I can't even, it has to be at least maybe 7-8 years. And so we know each other well. We know each other. We respect each other professionally. She knows that I'm in the medical field. I have a medical background. It has always been pleasant. So 2 days ago, I go to her for my eye exam. She comes in. She's washing her hands and getting ready to do the exam. And so we're engaging in chit-chat. And she says, so when are you going to get your vaccine? No, she says, have you gotten your vaccine yet? And I said, no. And she said, are you going to get the vaccine? And I said, no. And you could have felt the temperature in that room drop from 100 degrees to freezing. No, this is real serious, because what's going to happen is those of us who have made a conscious decision not to be vaccinated are going to be characterized as the pariah now of society. So this was our conversation. She proceeded to ask me why, and I shared with her. First of all, the narrative is incorrect. This injection is being classified as a vaccine. It does not meet the legal definition of a vaccine. It is not a vaccine. A vaccine is a substance that stimulates your innate immune system to produce protection against the disease for which you're being given that injection. That's not this. This is experimental gene therapy that nobody knows what the effect is going to be long term. What this does is trick our body into producing a substance, a protein, so that when you do get COVID, because this doesn't prevent you from getting COVID, you'll get COVID. But what it does is that it tricks your body into producing the protein that will minimize the severity of the COVID symptoms so that maybe you don't get into the hospital. So number one, it's not a vaccine. So I said that to her, to which she responded, well, we don't know that it's going to prevent. I said, well, I tell you what, if you don't know it's going to prevent that, then that's even more problematic for me, because you're asking me to put something in my body that you can't tell me that it's not going to prevent me from getting what it's designed to do. That was number one. And so she got real snarky. I mean, this, again, I started by saying this is somebody that I've known for years. She got real snarky with me. And she proceeded to tell me how I was putting myself at risk.
We just lost you.
I'm so sorry. Am I back?
Yes, you're back.
Okay. So she got real snarky with me. And again, this is somebody that I've known for years. And proceeded to tell me about how I was placing myself at risk. And I said to her, look, I look at it completely different. I said, I keep myself healthy. I do the things that strengthen my immune system. And I began to rattle off all the things that I do. And she just stared at me. The next question I asked her was about my eyes, because I said to myself, let me get off this topic, because she is my provider. She's in charge of making sure that my eyes stay healthy. I need to stop this, shut this down right now. So I asked her a question about my eyes, and she has never been so cut and dry in the years that I have known her. Yes, no.
No, you teed her off.
But this is serious, because you see, what she doesn't know that I know is I know what this country will do, including the United States public health system. How do I know? If you look at all the medicines that are being sued, Johnson & Johnson has this new vaccine, Johnson & Johnson, that put asbestos in baby powder. Asbestos in baby powder, Utrice. Now, yes. Why would I take the vaccine from a company that would knowingly do that? I'm very serious about it. This is experimental gene therapy, and 30 years from now, those of us who are still alive will be beginning to read about this in the medical literature. So, you know, what the other caller was talking about is very serious. It's very real.
But don't you feel caught? Well, I don't suspect that you do feel caught, because you've been in the medical field for quite a long time. And you do a lot of reading on your own, a lot of research on your own. But for the vast majority of people, it is about taking direction from the government, a trusted government.
You treat, that's the operative word there. I don't trust them. I wouldn't trust them if they were standing in front of me and they said the sky is blue. I would say it's red. I don't trust them. How do you trust a government that would expose not just Tuskegee? How would you trust a government, the United States public health system, that exposed Guatemalans, deliberately injected syphilis, chancroid into Guatemalans to test penicillin? It was, you see, it's not just Tuskegee. People talk about Tuskegee. It's not just Tuskegee. If you talk to the descendants of those Guatemalans who are now suing John Hopkins, yes, and Rockefeller Foundation. So you are talking about a government that would knowingly do this. So no, the operative word that people keep using is trust. And what I'm saying is I know what they're capable of. So no, I don't trust them. So my job is to protect myself.
Well, you made your point, and you made it very well. And thank you.
Have a good weekend.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Tony from, we lost Tony. Wayne from New York, you're on the air.
Hey there, Utrecht.
Hello.
All the best to you and the crew.
Thank you.
First off, listening to your program, it is interesting all the time, but you were put in earlier this week a guy about who Biden, dead Biden, who resuscitated Biden and put him in back in favor. I guess that was the front man, but he wasn't the guy that actually did it. Would you do the same for who actually brought Obama to the fore? You remember who introduced Obama?
Come to think of it, I don't.
Henry Kissinger. You know that mister? He introduced him, and the words that was used afterward was, here we have a good boy, when he introduced him to the others in the leadership. This was Kissinger. And, Obama did their work very good. And the idea, what I was calling about is how we are programmed again, right, Utrecht? Like, on Sunday, we will be doing what? Springing forward 1 week earlier within spring? As far as time go? These things we do, we accept we accept rather, because the system says this is what to be, needs to be done. It's the same thing that applies to this COVID. And I guess maybe you're taking the journalistic approach by, not middle of the road, because actually from what I'm hearing, you are on the other side, that we are in a pandemic. What I say, we are in a plandemic. It is planned and it is working fine for those planners. But it's not what they're telling us. And we're not free enough to examine what is going on. Something as serious as this, doctors not allowed to do autopsies. Somebody who is very famous in the front as a leader of the movement now actually holds a patent for these things to block anybody from doing it. We are programmed, and it is to our detriment to be deprogrammed. Your show
is the thing that bothers me. And yes, what bothers me is we know, or we suspect what is happening, yes, on the other side.
Okay.
But we don't see a groundswell of education on our side too much.
A groundswell of education.
Yes.
I agree with that. But how could that be done in this atmosphere right now?
The same way all other movements mobilize in order to get people's attention and to educate them. We're not seeing that level of intensity on the other side. When we could appreciate or be educated about things that you have to consider or watch or things that you can read about, we're not getting that kind of education from a movement. It seems to me that is long overdue. It should have been in fine form by now, doing the kind of work that mobilizes people. And by mobilizing, I don't mean to get them out in the street, but mobilizing them and getting more animated, more involved in appreciating the importance of the moment, that they can't just leave their opinion to chance. You know, they have to take an active role in deciding what it is they're believing and what it is that they're committed to doing.
Yes. In today's world, the access to that is through the media, what we call social media or the e-media. Now, who controls that? The amount of control they have over that is mind-boggling. You put an article in any one of them that is anti what their program is, it is taken off immediately. You are sometimes banned, like me, from some of these I wouldn't call them institutions, but maybe they are institutions by now. We know for a fact that the press, the newspapers, television stations, all include agents of the government agencies. This was, I'm not sure if you were at that forum here in New York, this was a while ago, some years ago. And they were explaining these things, and I sat there and asking myself, if people really listening to what they're saying, that each one of these papers has at least four members of the CIA, FBI, or somebody else on the board. We understand that if we listen to Zuckerberg in his last Congress visit, where he stated that they don't do the, sanctioning, of articles. That is handled by an agency. He didn't name them, but we know for a fact that the CIA is very heavily involved in Facebook. Now, These are the stuff that we have to do today. So we're very limited in the avenues we have. Fortunately, your program, especially this part where you allow people to call in every day, is one of the main sources of doing that. But we have to be real. We have to be real. We have to know what we're doing to be deprogrammed. I mean, I can't stop thanking you and PRN. I love Gary Noel. Oh, brother. Give that man a medal for what he's exposing here. And it's over the years he's been doing it. Thank you, Gary yes. Noel. You, Trish, you deserve some credit too. But I find too many times you're out in the middle of the road, even though I will put it like this. I assume, now, assuming we know it's making a, all right, of you and me, but you know, you know what it is. You try to get people to make these statements just like you, all right. You said yesterday that, what's her name? Oprah didn't ask questions. She just gave them a venue or a forum to express themselves. This is what you do. And even if you do it, so I guess you're both from the same school, and she's a highly acclaimed person. So are you. So we need forums like this. We need more of this talk back and in this form, so that we could express it and form that necessary movement we need to change things here.
All right. Hopefully people are listening and taking your advice and taking the little shove you're giving us now to get more mobilized, more active in our interests, because we see what we're up against, which is why it's important to share information and to become involved. Thank you so much, Wayne, for calling in and contributing today.
Thank you, Yatrice. Bye.
Thank you. Antonio from New York, you're on the air.
Hello, Patrice.
Yatrice.
Okay.
Yes.
I hope you're feeling well today.
Thank you. And, I'm hanging in.
Okay. Wonderful. You know, I wanted to talk about seems like a couple other people talking about Gary Knowles, too, and the vaccine, and the fact that they haven't been tried and what have you, and a lot of people are dying from them, but no one seems to be really talking about the negativity about what's going on here. So I just wanted to say, what do you think about that?
When you say what's going on, what do you mean?
I'm talking about so many people are dying from vaccines, and none of that's being said nowhere. I don't hear nothing about that nowhere except for maybe Gary Knowles or something like that.
It's no, by the way. By the way, it's no, N-U-L-L.
No. Okay, thank you, Gary Knowles. Yeah, okay.
All right. That's all right.
That's all right.
I listen to him all the time, just like I listen to you. But it's so sad. And I wonder, what are you supposed to do if you get the vaccine? Because I hear them say that if you get the vaccine or you don't have the vaccine, I mean, you don't have
the antibodies.
Yeah, you don't have the antibody, and then you take it, and chances are you don't die, that you die from them, that you only get worse.
Well, so, the main thing is to communicate that there is concern that we don't know all we are supposed to know, we the public. We don't know all that we are supposed to know about this government-administered program. And yet, of course, we are told the necessity of this program to go ahead because we are in the midst of a pandemic and the government has a responsibility here, as do governments all over the world, to secure the health of their various populations. But I think you're onto the idea that we don't know enough. We don't know enough. And what we know is not especially encouraging. We know that people are dying who have taken the vaccine. We know of the negative reactions. Just today, I read an article about women in particular it's being noted that in women who have had the vaccine, they're now experiencing serious, effects, side effects of the vaccine, even though they received the vaccine some time ago. So that raises yet another alarm that we don't know enough and we are not being told enough. And yet we are pressured into making a decision based on what the government says that it needs to happen. We need to have an inoculated population. Well, there's more than enough evidence that experts, many experts, disagree. We're not seeing a national debate about this. When we hear about views to the contrary, they are appearing sporadically, but not in a formal sense of a national debate. And that's what we need to have, national debates and the distribution nationally of information from people who have spent a great deal of time and effort in trying to get to the bottom of things like viruses, such as the coronavirus. There's great concern about the efficacy of the virus, whether it is in fact having negative effect. And there are lots of other issues that haven't been addressed, let alone answered. You know, is this giving some sector of our society, like the big farmer and so forth, giving them for free, a lot of information? They're collecting information and analyzing information. Are we now like guinea pigs? Take the vaccine and then report what your reaction is, your body's reaction to it. And it goes higher and higher on a scale of interest. What is going on with this vaccine? And it will be some time. It will be some time before the full measure of this vaccine is known. The full thing is not yet known. We're just getting hints. We're getting early indications. But the full impact of these vaccines really is not known. And it certainly hasn't come to the attention of the world community of nations the way it ought to. And that is what concerns me. In that atmosphere, I don't want to become somebody's experiment. I just don't want to do that. Thanks for calling in and contributing today.
Could I ask you a question?
Sure.
I just want to ask you, would you be taking it?
No.
Were you interested in taking it? Okay. Thank you. That's what I want to know. I find you to be a very wise person, so I wanted to ask you that question.
No, I'm not interested in taking it.
Nice talking to you. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you, Eugene?
Okay, how's by you, Lincoln?
As usual, I'm persevering through the aridities of life. I want to just point out a couple of things. One of them is, you know, this deafening silent response by us to Joe Biden's push to force gay marriage on African countries, threatening them with sanctions if they don't support gay marriage, which is really, really a sad thing. No different than when Obama was going to African countries and trying to demean them, excoriate them for not pushing gay marriage. I think, you know, and just want to touch on that briefly because I want to address the vaccine thing or this present thing. They're pushing a new agenda to destroy families, and they want to also destroy black families. And I do believe that this so-called transgender movement is a part of that. And it's a very unnatural movement because there's no such thing as a transgender. It's our DNA, which the chromosomes, which determines whether you're a man or a woman. So no matter how many parts, hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
No, I was hearing a beeping in my phone. No matter how many parts of our bodies we lop off or try to rearrange, you cannot change your sex. That's an impossibility. And, you know, I was kind of astounded by this, really calling people crazy like Trump and all these people. But yet we are embracing this craziness about some man. Today he decides to be a woman, and then tomorrow he changes back to a man. And, you know, that is, to me, that is a sign that we are crazy, you know, in this society. And we're just picking and choosing which craziness we want to embrace and which craziness we want to demean. I want to say this. You know, you say that there's not a movement to enlighten the people about the vaccine and what's going on. There is. Like myself and many, we post a lot of things about things that even some of the things we post way before Gary even posted. You know, I heard Gary did a show the other day, and me and some people posted things about the fact that about Dr. Barrick from North Carolina. There's a brother, his name is T. West. Over a year ago, or when it first started, because he had been following Fauci and Barrick for a while, he exposed the fact that this thing was created here at North Carolina, at the lab in North Carolina under Dr. Barrick, with the auspices of Fauci. And the disease, one fellow, one of the earlier callers, he says, why there are so many cases here? Because it actually started here first. There's a place they file diseases, and they had isolated the disease in 2019, a place in Seattle, and the CDC told them to cease and desist because they didn't want people to know that this germ was identified here, and it was created between North Carolina and Fort Detrick. And there's a brother, his name is Dr. T. West. If you could get him on your show and interview him, it's an astounding things that he will expose to you concerning this. In my research, I found out there was a black doctor, African-American doctor. His name was Dr. Gary Randolph Davis. He found the cure to AIDS using goat serum. And Fauci and all of them shut him down. Not only that, they killed him in the 1990s. This is a brother who found a way by using the goat serum to literally cure AIDS. I want to
who
also
killed
say
him?
This.
Who killed him? You just said
it.
They, and we are supposed to understand
the system.
Who
the system.
They
the system.
Are. It's still the same thing. Who is the system?
I will leave that part like that for everyone to just contemplate.
I have a question relating to the earlier statement that you made about Joe Biden pushing gay marriage and the transgender movement.
Yeah.
Do you think you understand enough about homosexuality and transgenderism
to
come to a decision about it?
I have been studying I've been studying it for years. Let me give you a quick thing. Let me tell you something. I used to go with a woman who was when I first met her, she used to dress like a man, and she was gung ho butch. All right. And it so happened that she and I hung out for a little bit. Next thing I know, she started dressing like a woman. All right. And she dropped all that masculinity thing. And it so happened that this is when I was living in Danbury, Connecticut. She came one day to visit me and she saw another woman there. Next thing you know, the next day I saw her, she was dressing like a man again. Okay? I've been studying this for quite a while now. A big part
well,
of
you've
this
been studying
is that,
a person.
No, I'm just telling you, that triggered me to go deeper, but I'm just giving you an example for you, for people to contemplate the fact that this person went like that. You know, when you think about Bruce Jenner and the back and forth, the biggest part of this is psychological. One more thing I want to address.
What do you know? I mean, you make statements. You've done studies and you know exactly what the problem is or exactly how to look at the problem even. But I don't think you have as strong a handle on it as you say you do.
No, but my purpose for just saying these things is not so much, just to stimulate a debate. That's all why I'm telling you all these things. So others can
you stimulate the debate by putting out information that is highly questionable.
Think about one more thing I want to say. This that we're going through is the continuation of 9/11, the agenda of 9/11 to usher in the new world order. And I'm going to say this, and I'm not into spookism or any such thing, but to understand what's going on, you really got to read Revelations. And when you think about them forcing this passport, this vaccine passport, this is a precursor for people to travel, to be in school, to get your driver's license. This is the precursor of this thing in Revelations called the Mark of the Beast. It resembles it. It's identical in terms of, you know, how it will be implemented. And I want people to also think of this, about the powers that be. Look, you remember just before this new pope came in, there was a scandal where over 900 and something priests worldwide were suspected of molesting children. And one of the reasons why they brought in this new pope was to silence that. And we all forgot about that. And they did. They brought him in. And suddenly, these cases of over 900 priests molesting thousands of children just vanished. And we continue to embrace the Pope and the Catholicism. It shows how, you know.
You know, when it comes to conspiracy theories, I give you the prize. You have come up with all kinds of conspiracy theories.
No, you treat this is. All of what I'm saying, if you stop and think, and if you can objectify, you'll find out that it is true. But they're playing upon our ignorance and our gullibility. They control. You must understand. You know, they rule the world by our ignorance. I mean, by definition. For example, I hear people talking about.
Don't go any further, because what rules us is the clock, and we are out of time. And so we'll have to pick up this discussion probably at the next Free Your Mind Friday. Please make a note of it, because I'm expecting you to continue so we could ask you some questions.
I would love to.
But I want to thank you for your contribution today. Thank you all for your contributions today. I'm very proud to be associated with you and to enjoy our time together. It's a learning experience, and I hope to push us all even further into examining what it is we need to know in order to survive in this world. Thank you again. Have yourselves a great weekend. Surround yourselves with people who bring positivity to your life. And we'll see each other Monday. Bye-bye.